Good morning. It's the Raptors Show. Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner with you. Little programming note. No show from us tomorrow. We're tanking. Also, DNP rest. No, it's NHL trade deadline day tomorrow, so we'll be wall-to-wall NHL trade deadline coverage here, obviously. Try to pick up a third center, a seventh defenseman, whatever else. Who do you want for the Leafs, Matt?
Let's go with Bobby Orr.
Yeah, there you go.
Or Bobby Cam Orr. Neely.
Berter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. We were like, so Mike Breen is going to join us in a minute here, by the way. We'll also do some around the NBA stuff in the second segment. Raptors don't play tonight. Small update that we'll get into a little bit later as well. The Raptors are expected to sign Colin Castleton to a 10-day contract either today or tomorrow. The timing of that just depends.
Gators.
There you go. You got the hat on today and everything. So
I'm going to be wearing this hat for the entire month of March for March Madness.
Yeah, we got to conference tournaments next week.
Oh, yeah.
Fire up. Lock in. We will
going for that one seed.
Yeah. I mean, you guys every, it's not like I'm locked in game to game on Florida, but you give me the updates when things are going well.
They're going well.
Yeah. So, buried.
We beat Alabama.
I was going to say, was it Auburn? They beat
the other day, but number it's Alabama. Seven, and we beat them.
How's Fordham doing this year? Should we check in with Mike Breen and see how he's doing?
I think we should, dude.
All right.
They had a big hire recently.
There you go.
You know, someone switched gears, switched careers, running that program now.
Nice.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
No, I don't.
Ooh. Didn't Woj?
No, that's St. Bonaventure.
Oh, that's St. Bonaventure. My bad. I'm screwing up my A-10 schools.
That's all right. We're good. We'll get Mike Breen to steer the ship here of MSG Network, of NBA on ABC and ESPN. Very, very psyched to be joined by Mike Breen. Now, Mike, good morning. Thanks for doing this.
Well, Fordham lost by 25 last night, so perhaps not the best time to discuss it.
We didn't see it. It doesn't count, Mike. You can you didn't need to tell the audience that.
Hello, Blake. How you doing? How's the Red Mamba doing?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for coming on. And I told my dad you're coming on, and he got very excited and says hello.
That's my favorite member of the Bonner family.
Matt can't catch a break. Every time we have a guest on who knows anyone in the Bonner family, like nobody but me has ranked Matt number one in the Bonner family ranking.
It's fair though. I'm definitely not number one in the Bonner family. Oh, so man. I'm a realist.
No, he's like seventh or eighth with me. So he's very high.
Yeah. The Bonner family is like the Western Conference. If you said he was seventh or eighth in the Eastern Conference, that'd be a bit of an insult, but in the Western Conference, that's a big, big positive.
Absolutely. Hey, Mike, so I wanted to bring this up. I've never told you this, but in May of 2021, we're like just coming out of COVID. Actually, it still might have kind of been during COVID because I remember wearing a mask for part of it. But you were part of the Hall of Fame induction with the Kurt Gowdy Media Awards along with Michael Wilbon. And that was the same induction where Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and Kobe Bryant, all three of them were inducted. And I went to the night before, and you had one of the best speeches I think I've ever heard. You and Michael Wilbon. I remember leaving that like, I don't know if I can ever give a speech again after listening to you two speak. Like, it was touching, moving. You didn't miss. You like delivered it, executed it perfectly. I don't know. I just wanted to get your thoughts on like that weekend and what it meant to you to be inducted in the Hall of Fame and be part of that with those three guys going in.
Well, Matt, that's so kind of you. Thank you. It meant the world to me for the number one reason. And it was in my speech is that it's the best part about the whole thing was it gave me an opportunity to say thanks to everybody that, were the reasons why I was there. I think the line I used was, I wish I could bring all the people that are responsible for this up on the stage with me. Unfortunately, there's not a stage big enough in the world to fit that many people. And that's the truth. And I know you feel the same way about your career, that nothing happens without the support, encouragement from so many people, from your family to your coworkers, to everybody. And that was the sweetest part for me, is being able to use that honor to let everybody know that I'll never forget all they did for me.
I agree. And it also, it's like the game of basketball, the sport of basketball has given so much to so many, brought so many people together. It should always be honored and respected. We had an incident with Tristan Thompson a week ago. And I call it the basketball gods. And to me, like, it's like a religious thing almost. It's like that important. It's given me so much in my life. And I know you feel the same, especially after that speech. But, like, if you're up 25 and the buzzer's about to go off, you respect the game and you don't go in and dunk it and rub it in the other team's face. Like, the game is bigger than all of us. And, I know you get that. I don't know where I'm going with this.
It's okay. Just... I have a follow-up on the, Mike, I know that in that speech you did a lot of reflecting on your career. There's one thing that you've talked about before that I'm fascinated by because I do multiple sports, and obviously I'm a fan of multiple different sports. By the way, the Colin Castleton 10-day signing just became official, so your Gators, the Raptor, officially now, Matt.
Nice.
and, Mike, I know you've talked about, and I know you've done sports more than basketball, but we know you mostly as a basketball guy. You've talked in the past about how you will watch broadcasts from different sports and pull things from different broadcasters of different sports, including pro wrestling. Jim Ross, obviously a college football guy, but good old JR on the wrestling side as well. What has that process been like for you? And when you turn on a game, even if it's as a fan, how do you pull from other sports and other broadcasters to continue to improve your own game?
Well, it's interesting, and different sports do help, but so much of it is, like if I'm watching a game, I watch where an announcer's energy is and when it's appropriate to go high energy and high intensity, when it's appropriate to kind of maintain a little more poise, how they handle big moments, how they handle telling personal anecdotes, different words they use to describe certain plays or certain ebbs and flows of the game. There's so much you can learn, and it's hard for me when I'm watching a game to shut off the play-by-play mechanics in my head because I'm so interested in the craft and how other people handle certain situations. And the great part for me is there are so many talented play-by-play voices out there, not just basketball, but in all sports. And to be able to see how they handle things and maybe use some of it, it's really fun to do. And I still, to this day, there are things that I watch and listen to and think, I really like the way that person handle that situation. Maybe I can make some adjustments on how I do it. And that's the beauty of the business is you're always learning. You're always trying to get better. Yeah. You hang on to some of the ones that you've used and the ways that you use, but there's always different ways. And even since I've started, the business is so much different than when I first began.
Well, that's really insightful. And it's fascinating to hear that.
It's hard to get better at broadcasting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have enough time to, like, watch back all our tape or listen back or anything like that.
And, like, most of the producers and people around you just tell you you did a great job.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to hear that. Tell me what I did wrong. I don't care. I'm trying to get better.
That's a great point. And, one thing I try to do when I talk to young broadcasters, I tell them this all the time, that you need to have a few people in your life who are going to tell you what you need to hear and who are not going to be afraid to critique you. My mother, who's 93 and still watches every game that I do, after every game, she says, "Oh, honey, you were so good tonight." She's not going to tell me, you really kicked that call in the third quarter. But you have to have those other people. And I had throughout my career, I've had people that I rely on. And I'll, even to this day, I'll call them up and say, "Hey, listen, do me a favor. If you get a chance, watch a half of Saturday's game and give me some things that you think are either, not doing as well or need to do more of." And, some of the people are in the business. Some of the people, like one of them is a great friend of mine who watches every sporting event. So he's the ultimate.
Oh, we may have disconnected with Mike there. We'll try to reconnect with him in a minute here. I want to know where he was.
I wanted to know too, because it is a good point. And when I did the broadcasting program at the PA, one of the things I remember, it was at the Newhouse School of Media at Syracuse, and Matt Park, the director of that school, did the program. And one of the things I can still vividly remember from that week was, in this business, all you hear is great job, great job, great job, you're fired.
Yeah.
So it's like,
yeah. In my position, it's obviously a little different than yours, and I'm not doing the games live, like you and Mike are. But social media is nice for some things, but you
I
only
don't even look at
you
social
only
media.
Hear from like the most
people
negative
people are mean on social
you,
media.
You hear from like the most negative 5% of people and the most positive 2% of people,
yep.
And like the 93% in the middle you never hear from, and they probably same thing. Like, oh, great job. Yeah. We do have a.
I feel like that's a good thing though if people aren't noticing. Like that you're doing a bad job or whatever.
I mean, yeah,
like
but the absence of bad job doesn't necessarily mean you can't be doing better. And, yeah, and we have Mike back now. And it's Mike, thanks for reconnecting. It's so fascinating to hear someone who is at your level, is in the Hall of Fame, is as well-respected as you, is still constantly looking for ways to get better every game and looking for those opportunities. So thank you for sharing. It's incredible to hear that, you know, even at your level, you're still looking for ways to improve.
What?
Damn,
I kept talking when I obviously went out, and I corrected myself. I said that Matt is actually my favorite Bonner, and that his dad is now number two. So you may have missed that. But no, it really is the case. And by the way, if you want to find out that what you're doing wrong, all you got to do is put on Twitter, and you'll find out in a hurry from angry fans who feel you're not treating their team correctly.
So this is not really related to this. This is lighter. And this is the last one I'll ask you about your career before we talk some, you know, Knicks and Lakers. And I know you got Lakers Celtics on the weekend as well, Mike. How much do you hear from players? Like, I remember one time Jamal Murray like hit a big shot and like looked over. You could tell he was peeking to see if he was getting a bang, maybe even a double bang. Do players lobby you for like, hey, man, I got to get one of these tonight. That should have been a bang.
Sometimes they do. Every once in a while, they'll say that, and it's so flattering. And that particular game with Murray, here's this big, huge playoff game, and for him to do that, it makes you feel good because, you know, when you call in your games, what I want to do is I want to do justice to what these players are doing. I mean, they're the greatest players in the world, and sometimes they have these big iconic moments. And you just want to make sure you help enhance the moment. You never want to spoil the moment. You want to do justice because these players put so much time and care and sacrifice into their craft. And to be able to have the honor of calling these games, it means something when they appreciate that. And that meant a lot to me. And anytime, you know, a player will say that, I think – one of the nicest compliments I ever received, this was years back, Magic Johnson came up and said to me, boy, I love your energy on the air. And if Magic Johnson is in favor of your energy, then you might be doing something right. So that stuff is extremely flattering and so appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, you were one of the broadcasters, and there's other ones like, you know, Jeff Van Gundy. I can't remember who else off the top of my head, but like when I was playing – if I came in to walk through or whatever pregame and we saw you, like, you knew it was a big game.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It gave you a little extra juice, really.
Nice.
In a long season.
That's great. Speaking of big games, Mike, it's Knicks-Lakers tonight and then Celtics-Lakers on Saturday on ABC and ESPN+. The Knicks are kind of in this interesting spot where they're stuck as the third seed in the East. They're probably not going to catch Boston. They're probably not going to fall any lower. Still, you know, trying to figure out exactly where they are. Do you look at them as kind of a tier two of their own? You know, there's Boston and Cleveland, and then there's everyone else in the East, and the Knicks are kind of just there in between those groups?
Well, right now, Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City have all, to me, separated themselves from the other 27 teams. And there are a lot of other really good teams. In fact, the Knicks might be the fourth or fifth best team in the entire NBA, but right now they're not as good as those other three. And pretty much everybody else in the league is that way as well. I do think the Knicks are still a big work in progress, and that shows in sometimes their inconsistency when they play some of the better teams. But I think Mitchell Robinson's return is going to fix some of the weaknesses that they have. And it's crazy. Like, the Knicks are going to have one of their best seasons in, it's probably 12 or 13 years. And if they don't beat Boston or Cleveland in the second round, some will think of it as a failure, which I think is crazy. Because Cleveland and Boston are just playing at such an absurd level right now on both ends of the floor, and Oklahoma City the same way. So for all the other 27 teams, You know, you've got some work to do if you got a chance to knock those teams out of the playoffs.
I agree with you. I think it's important to keep that perspective for all the Knicks fans out there.
Yeah.
Like, you had a very successful season, even if you go out in the second round. Like, remember 5 years ago, what that felt like? Like, it could be a lot worse. So, like, enjoy this group you have.
And, like, it's fun enough Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, and they're heading in the right direction and have been for the last several years with Leon Rose in the front office and Tom Thibodeau and his coaching staff have done. You know, every year they're better, and they're one of the best teams in basketball. And they still have work to do to get to that level of a championship. And it could be this year. It might take another year. But they're absolutely heading in the right direction.
Mike, last one on the Knicks for you. You mentioned Mitchell Robinson could come back. That's going to open up some things and change some things, give Tom Thibodeau a couple options. We don't know if OG Anunoby is going to play tonight. He's listed as questionable. But you've gotten to see OG day-to-day now. He's played almost every game for the Knicks. Obviously, everyone knew OG Anunoby was a good defender while he was in Toronto. What's it been like getting to watch that level of defense from him game to game this year?
Yeah, Blake, he's not just a good defender. He's an elite defender. He does so much, and he just not only does he, you know, in terms of effort, put it in, but he's such a smart defensive player as well. Just tremendous instincts. The thing about him that when you watch him night in and night out is that he's a much better offensive player than I thought. Now, he's had, like most of the guys on the team, because Towns and Brunson are such great offensive players, the others have to sacrifice. You know, would they like more shots? Probably. But there are some nights where you see Anunoby take over and show what a gifted offensive player he is, and that's still growing. But in terms of defense, team defense, individual defense, it's so much fun to watch because he's one of the elite defenders in the entire league.
It's really, it's cool. It's nice to see him get that kind of appreciation. If he plays tonight, he'll get to, hey, here's the LeBron James assignment. Good luck.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to out-muscle him.
No.
That's for sure.
No.
All right, Mike, I got another question for you. As the sandwich hunter, you're living in the New York area. What's your favorite go-to sandwich?
Sandwich?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'm guessing you must eat a sandwich at some point in, you know, once a month.
I'm a big sandwich. I'm a big chicken cutlet sandwich guy with
chicken
with
cutlet,
bacon and cheese.
Okay.
And my favorite sandwich might be eggs, bacon and cheese sandwich. I could have that for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, for crying out loud. Mm-hmm. So those are some of the favorite. But I'll pretty much eat anything. I've got my appetite is one thing I enjoy, and it's of course part of my downfall as well.
That's one of the advantages of traveling in the NBA. You get to go eat in all
the different
cities.
Like, I was in Memphis the last couple of nights, and one of my favorite restaurants in the country is in Memphis. And I always feel this way. Like, if
what's
I was
that?
Able to,
what's the restaurant?
The name of the restaurant is called Itabina. It's got just some great Cajun food.
Oh, I've never been there.
And if I was the voice of the Grizzlies, I'd be 40 pounds heavier.
I'm a big Central Barbecue guy in Memphis. And I liked A&R Barbecue, but they moved to the outskirts, so I can't get out there. But I'll eat those pulled pork sandwiches from A&R all day long.
Oh, it's the stuff is just, it's amazing. It's so good, but it's put on the pounds while you're wolfing it down.
Yep.
Well, hopefully for your waistline, Mike, Grizzlies not in the NBA Finals this year, but looking forward to hearing you on your 20th NBA Finals this coming year. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time out, man. I know it's a busy day. I really appreciate it.
No, my pleasure. Enjoy it, Blake. Thank you. And Matt, always great to hear from you. Please give my regards to the whole family for me.
Thank you. Great to hear from you, too. And thank you for coming on.
Mike Breen, MSG Network. We got Knicks Lakers tonight.
Chicken cutlet.
Also NBA on ABC and ESPN. Yeah, I thought you were going to drop.
I did not see that coming.
I thought you were going to drop a Yonkers in your New York accent, the way you do a
Lost
Boston accent.
Lost in Yonkers.
Yeah.
That's the first person I think I've ever asked that question to who said chicken cutlet ever.
Yeah. Interesting.
That's not like a typical, like, oh, I got to have my chicken cutlet sandwich. But chicken cutlet sandwiches are good.
Yeah.
So.
It's not a bad pick.
Surprise.
And then, yeah, the breakfast sandwich that you'll do all day, that's
Oh, yeah. There's some really good breakfast sandwich spots in Toronto.
Yeah, St. Lawrence Market probably the spot. I mean, at least if you're visiting and you're staying down near
for
the
arena. For a breakfast sandwich?
Yeah. They got the P-Mill spot.
Yeah, I've never been there.
Oh, man. I thought for sure you would have hit St. Lawrence Market.
I mean, I've been to St. Lawrence Market not to get a breakfast sandwich.
No, I would have thought even when you were a player, like, first thing I'm doing is go get the P-Mill bacon breakfast sandwich.
No, I mean, you got to remember when I played here, I'm coming from America. I didn't know what P-Mill bacon was at that point.
That's true. We still don't, we still haven't even been able to figure out if it's on the Beef Wennington or not, or the controversy of whether it's American or Canadian bacon. The biggest American Canadian controversy going right now, the Beef Wennington.
People in
1990s.
America don't know what P-Mill bacon is.
No,
I'm telling you.
Well, people who listen to the show have an idea now. Although we, it's not like we can describe it and tell you the taste or anything like that. But you should check out that sandwich spot.
I will.
Yeah, twist your arm, eh? Telling you to check out a sandwich.
I'm in.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to look at the entire NBA. The only Raptors news today really is that Colin Castleton has signed on a 10-day because they needed a Gator representation, obviously. So we are, and the Raptors don't play until tomorrow when they start not a competitive four-game homestand. They got Utah, Washington, Washington, Philadelphia.
We're going to the play-in, I'm telling you.
Those will be basketball games.
Although
I don't
these
know.
Four games will have... teach us a lot of how the rest of the season is going
to go. Yeah, Friday is the most interesting one to me for that perspective because all of these games, the 905 and the Raptors are at home, and you could send these guys up and down. Hey, Jared Roden, Colin Castleton, Orlando Robinson, you want to play for both? You want to, you know, help the 905 make the playoffs and get lots of NBA minutes? But Friday night, both teams play. So it'll be, I think it'll be telling because if all the young guys are up with the Raptors, that tells us that, hey, playing those young guys and using a deeper rotation, stuff like that, is the priority. Whereas if they're down with the 905, you know, hey, there's value in making this 905 playoff push. I'm a little torn on
I mean, in Utah's, you talk about the ethical tank.
They are
They've
aggressive.
Lost so many close games. It's they, like every time I check the score, are they going to win? No, they don't.
They sat.
They got it down packed.
They sat nine players last night, including 23-year-old Walker Kessler for rest. And it was not the second night of a back-to-back.
Listen, Danny Ainge, man.
23-year-old for rest on a non-back-to-back is pretty aggressive.
Remember last year in Summer League, teams were resting guys in Summer League that are like 19?
Yeah, I mean, that's more of a like, okay, you got your reps in. Like the way that's been explained to me is like teams want to look at the at those guys further down the Summer League roster to see if they're going to get a G League invite or something like that, but...
Yeah. I guess.
I miss when, like... when
you're 19 at Summer League.
Yeah, like when Norman Powell was on the Summer League Raptors, like, he wanted the Summer League championship so badly. And, like, unfortunately, the way it played out is, like, in the... I think, I want to say the quarterfinals when your DeLon Wright, like, separated his shoulder and was, like, out for a couple months. It's like, that's why teams will rest. They're at least more experienced guys. But, yeah, it's...
You could get hit by a car crossing the street. Should we never cross the street? I'm resting today. I don't want to get... Like, come on.
Yeah. There's a really good a really good Lonely Island digital short with Kendrick Lamar about that. it's called YOLO, you only live once, but instead of it being you should like live your life to the fullest YOLO, it's like no, you should be like you should take every precaution and never do anything unsafe because you only get one life. And Kendrick just like drops a verse on it about like doing your taxes and getting good mortgage rates and stuff like that. Pretty good. Okay, let's take a break. I'm the one getting us off the rails today. We'll come back. We're going to draft playoff team. So we're going to kind of tier the NBA and see who we're feeling most strongly about for the championship and making a deep playoff run. That's next as the Raptors show continues with Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Raptors show. Blake Murphy and Matt Bonner with you. No Raptors action tonight. No injury updates yet on guys because they didn't practice yesterday. Although I don't think we're, other than Ochai Agbaji, we're not really expecting any injury updates. Grady's out
any
a couple
Garrett
weeks.
Temple news?
Not that I've seen.
No Canadian Temples running around yet?
Yeah.
I guess they wouldn't be running around.
Imminently. Like he didn't go on that road trip. So I'm not sharing this. I'm not sharing personal information out of pocket because he told us this on the show. last Monday. But
we
yeah,
know how you love to gossip.
Yeah, that's me. That's definitely me. Yeah, so he told us on the show that they were obviously expecting. They were a couple weeks away as of last Monday, but they might induce. So my read was he just didn't want to be on the road and away from his wife in case she went into labor and the team was on the road. Now that they're back, I'd imagine we'll see him like at practice and at games and stuff like that. Maybe we'll get an update from him tomorrow down at the down at the arena if
Wishing
he's
them
there.
The best, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And as I mentioned earlier, the other news being that the Raptors have signed Colin Castleton to a 10-day. If you don't know Colin Castleton, he is, of course, a Florida Gator.
7-footer.
Yes. Went to Michigan, transferred, did 3 years at Florida after that. 6'10".
He's 6'10"?
6'10", yeah.
I swear when I met him, he was like, bigger than he was taller. But
yeah, maybe your posture has just slipped.
It's definitely slipped.
Yeah. He's had cups of coffee with the Lakers and the Grizzlies. Not enough to really judge him, but I've seen a bunch of them in the G League and was kind of digging in because I had a... I mean, I'm sure people who listen to this show could figure out I had a sense Colin Castleton might be one of the guys getting a call. Really good finisher inside, doesn't have an outside shot yet. Developing passer, a little bit of turnover issues when they've asked him to do more stuff with the Magic's G League team. He's also been with Memphis's and the Lakers' G League teams over the last 2 years and can protect the rim a little bit. Not going to turn away 3-4 shots a game, but a little bit there. He's probably... Him or Kyler Kelly are probably the best available big in the G League right now. So we'll see. Certainly not a finished product. Would imagine he's going to get 905 time. Would imagine he's going to get some Raptors minutes as well. Do you know much about your Florida guy? You've said
everything
you've met him
you
before,
just
right?
Said.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You said you've met him before.
I've met him a couple times, okay. But I didn't hang out with him or anything. So.
Okay. You weren't like
just
taking him around Florida, recruiting him. You got to leave Michigan,
no,
man. You got to come to the SEC.
I wasn't like, hey, let's go get pitchers at the Mellow Mushroom. Nope.
Sure. Is that a Florida place?
It was.
Okay.
I think it's out of business now. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. So that's it for Raptor stuff for today. Really, we'll get some injury updates out of practice tomorrow, maybe, and then they're back in action Friday. So we're going to take the next 20 minutes to go around the NBA. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to check in on how we're feeling about the league's title contenders and just tiers in general. And the way we're going to do that is we're going to draft playoff teams. Now, the idea is to make sure you pick the team that ultimately wins the NBA championship. That's the most important thing. If we were coming up with a secondary way to score this, we would do it where who has the most total playoff rounds won. So that's how we'll kind of set this up. I lost the coin flip that I did by myself. So you have you have first pick, unfortunately, and I have second pick. So
as my old man would tell me playing horse growing up, age before beauty.
There you go.
So I got the first pick. We already know who I'm going with. Oklahoma City.
Okay.
My high school coach, at some point in his coaching career, took a year off to get his master's, and he wrote a book. And you know what the title of that book was, Blake?
No.
Defense Wins. They're having a historic defensive season. Combine that with SGA having an MVP season. Scored 40-plus last night. Mm-hmm. Fast break on the money, baby. So they got a go-to guy that can get you buckets, can get to the free throw line even when the game slows down in the playoffs. They've had other guys step up and take leaps this season. They're going to be fully healthy with Chet and Hartenstein. They can play them together. They can go one. They can play none of them go super small. They can do every single possible lineup you need. They're adaptable. I just think it's their year. I think they're that good. They got it. They got their playoff experience out of the way last season. This is the year they make the run to the finals, and I think they can take it.
Yeah, and if you're looking at, you know, nits to pick with Oklahoma City, hey, what is the secondary scoring like if Shea gets the tap turned off on him or something like that? Well, my answer to that is usually who has been able to turn the tap off on Shea Gilgeous-Alexander lately? The answer is not very many teams. You might worry about some of the teams that they'll have to run into to get to the championship.
Like who?
Obviously, I was just...
It's your pick. You tell me. Who do I have to worry about?
I'm not picking Western Conference teams.
Doesn't matter. The finals.
Yeah, exactly.
This pick right here, if you're going Eastern Conference, is essentially your finals pick.
Yeah, so, yeah. I'm not disagreeing. I would have taken the Thunder first overall as well. I'm just explaining out the, you know, the scenarios.
Blake, you got to be an independent thinker. Don't just do what I'm thinking. Like,
well, you just look at the analytics.
Don't just
and you're
agree
like, oh,
with
the Thunder
me.
The analytics.
No,
say the Thunder are the best.
Too.
I know. I'm just teasing.
You know how hard it is if they have. You know how hard it is to win in Oklahoma City. That court is raucous.
Yeah, and you got to stay in the haunted hotel.
Bring the ruckus. No, they have a new hotel. You don't have to
if I were the Thunder, I would like, and I made the
put
finals,
bed,
and I was making a deep playoff
run. Put bed bugs in the fancy
one? I was going to say, yeah, make sure every other hotel is just, like, booked up. Like, I know that maybe their ownership doesn't have the money to do that, but that's what I would do, is just book
reserve
every other
every
hotel.
Room
only the haunted
in the
hotel
city
has
except,
vacancy.
Except the Skirvin.
Exactly. From mid-April to the end of June.
The hotel is called the Skirvin. It sounds like a haunted pirate ship.
Yeah,
like,
it does.
What do you expect?
Not a lot of vitamin C for those goes. Okay, so I get two picks because we're doing it snake style, and then you'll get two picks, which means I don't even have to choose between Cleveland and Boston. I'm just going to take them both.
But which one first?
I will take Boston first slightly, and then Cleveland, just for the sake of splitting hairs, and mostly just because, as we've talked about these two teams during the year, I entered, you know, a little higher on Boston where you were a little higher on Cleveland. Obviously, Cleveland has had a much stronger regular season, but I feel like a coward flipping it now. So since I'm picking them both, I'll stick with Boston here. Obviously, with Boston, there's an element of, hey, will these guys turn it on and reach another gear in the playoffs? But as you've discussed to us, it's really, really hard to do that when you're trying to repeat as champions, whereas Cleveland has no trouble. They're 52-10. They might win 70 games. They have won 12 in a row now. Like, they have very few. Even the DeAndre Hunter thing, which, like, Caris LeVert and Minivan are playing really well in Atlanta, but DeAndre Hunter has knocked down, like, more than 50% of his catch and shoots since he got to Cleveland. Not a lot of holes to poke with that Cavs team.
Nope. And, you know, the thing with Boston is, are they going to make threes or not? Mm-hmm. If they make their threes, they're going to come out. If not, Cleveland will. But I'm betting on Cleveland.
I remembered I wanted to ask Mike Breen something of, like, with a team like Boston, does he have to, like, change where the bar is for a bang because they shoot so many threes that, like, you can't.
It has,
like,
to be a game winner.
Yeah.
Has to.
Yeah, that's fair.
But I Cleveland's going to have home court too.
Yeah.
If it was me, I would have gone Cleveland then Boston.
But I get them both, so I don't.
But
have to,
you know, you cheated.
I didn't cheat. It's a snake style draft.
As soon as it wasn't, and then you lost the coin flip, and you're like, oh, snake style. Since you lost
every draft,
you bend the rules.
Every
podcast
in the world does snake style drafting. It's the only equitable way to do it.
It's not. It's not at all in this case. But it's fine. Whatever. Okay. You know, you want to cheat, I'll still cheat.
I'll trade you Boston and Cleveland for OKC and these next two picks if you really want to do it.
Okay, done. I'll make that trade.
Yeah, I think the key point here is we're both in agreement that those three teams are tier one and there is a drop-off.
Here's why it's not fair. Because for sure, Boston or Cleveland is coming out of the East. So you automatically have one team in the finals. Whereas
You could have taken Cleveland or Boston, though, and then I didn't automatically have that.
Yeah, but then you get OKC and the other team.
Well,
this isn't fair. That's all I'm saying.
But, like, now you're going to get the next two teams.
Right, but you're missing the point. It's fine.
I get OKC, the point. I play a lot of fantasy sports.
To me, OKC is the favorite to come out of the West.
Yeah.
But they're not as big a favorite as Boston or Cleveland in the East, is my point.
Right.
Now, the rest of the West is kind of a crapshoot, and I'm kind of, you know, blindly peeing in the wind here, but I'm going to say, I'm going to go for my second pick. I'm going Denver.
Okay.
They've been hot as of late. They figured their stuff out. Jamal Murray's back, baby.
Oh yeah.
Been balling. Knee looks good, healthy. And I just think in playoff basketball, if you could pick one player to have on your team, it's Nikola Jokic.
Yeah.
Like, when the game slows down, that's the guy you want on your team. He is going to assure that you have quality offensive possessions down the stretch in close games for himself or for a teammate. And Jamal Murray is ice. Like, you need a game winner. You need someone to create a shot. Jamal Murray's great at that. We've seen him do it in the playoffs time and time again. So I think those two give them an edge, and everybody else is figuring it out. They got role players stepping up. Rotation seems to be on point.
Zeke Nagy, by the way, is
exactly.
They shelved him for like half a season, and now he looks like a rotation big again.
Yeah, Christian Brown, balling. Russ Westbrook, figured it out.
Yeah, once they put him in the starting lineup, everything kind of snapped into place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm forgetting other guys, but so I'm going Denver. And then my next pick in the West, This one might be controversial.
Okay.
And am I basing a lot of this on the eye test of what they did against the Raptors? Maybe. but I also just really like them, and they have playoff experience. And if I'm assuming they're going to be healthy, I think they will be. And they have a lot of depth. They have a lot of guys that can go off. And they're also really good on defense and offense. That's the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm going Memphis Grizzlies.
Yeah, it's a good one. I had them high on my board as well. I
want to make sure I get a team out of the West. I'm front loading the West since you stole the two obvious ones in the East. Hopefully one of these three teams comes out of the West and I can even the score after these two picks.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'm not just picking Eastern Conference teams from here because I have no interest in, once you get past the Knicks, I don't have a lot of interest in East teams.
Exactly. What's the point?
Memphis, really high. Of course, they have been really, really good all year. A little cold right now, and then I would have like a little
bit
of
Triple J's hurt. Like they always have injuries, but they're still doing really well record wise and hanging tough. And I think when they're whole, they'll take it to a new level come playoff time.
It'll be I'm really fascinated to see what teams do. You know, I'd imagine some of their Western Conference opponents haven't gone to what their strategy against Zach Edey might actually be in a playoff series. You hold some of that back. What do they try to do? How does he learn against that and things like that? John Morant is obviously tons and tons of fun.
Memphis also a very difficult place to play in.
Because of, as Mike Breen laid out, you're full of barbecue the whole time.
Yeah, and the hotel's like across the street from the arena. And there's just you're just getting heckled everywhere you go all the time while you're there. So the city shows up for the playoffs in Memphis.
Nice.
It's a tough place to win in.
Yeah, they'll be a really fun
grind.
Yeah,
it'll be the
other thing about them is like if you get them in the first round, even if you beat them, you're coming out of that series with your butt kicked.
Yeah,
that's I would like Memphis and Houston are the two, like Houston's the least experienced team of those Western Conference playoff teams, and Memphis.
So Houston's your next pick.
No,
okay,
that's not what I was going to say.
It's your pick. You
Any
said Houston.
Team I mention is my pick automatically.
Well, you said Houston.
I was just discussing the Western Conference.
Well, you can't if it's the NBA draft and you go up on the mic and you say a player, you can't be like, oh, that's not my pick.
But I didn't
You're on
say,
the clock,
I didn't
though.
Say
I made my two picks. You're on your clock.
We have to discuss the picks. We have to have a conversation about the playoff team.
But you're not talking about them. You're talking about
I was talking about Memphis. I was saying Memphis and Houston are the
Houston's
two teams.
Houston's your pick. Okay. I'm writing it down.
No, it's not Houston. My next
it's your pick. Go.
I am going to get a Western Conference team. Maybe recency bias here or superstar bias. I'm going to go with the Lakers. They've won 17 of their last 20. Luka and LeBron look very, very comfortable together. No, they don't have rim protection. Yes, there are some limitations to going switch heavy defense for entire playoff runs and playoff series and stuff like that. And I maybe don't fully believe this level of defense will hold up in the playoffs. There are also some like they're 39-21, but have only outscored teams by like a point and a half a game. There's like a little bit of, but they have LeBron and they have Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves rocks. I think with the sixth pick, the Lakers are a decent one there. And then for my next one, I will go back to the Eastern Conference and take the Knicks, mostly because I think they're the only like real threat left in the Eastern Conference.
And I'm so happy you took
I'm
that.
Just covering my bases in the East.
All right. The Knicks are going to be run down. They play too many minutes. I don't think they're going to the conference.
I think they're losing
finals.
In the second round.
Yeah, second round. Yeah. I agree. Lakers are interesting. I could see it going either way. It's like a risky pick, but has potential. And on that line of thinking, my next pick, I'm going back to the Eastern Conference. And it's like the Lakers, right? It's the same thing. Like, there's like you could see this being possible. I don't know if it's likely, but I think it's possible. And I'm going with the Milwaukee Bucks.
All right.
And
hard to argue with Giannis in a playoff series, right?
All right. So in season tournament, they took it. And I know it's not the playoffs, but you got the Terminator leading the charge. And then I love what they've done. They've just put all these gunners, 3-point gunners around him. And that's one of those variability teams where like if Giannis is cranking and those guys are making threes, that's a really hard team to beat. So do I think it's likely they make a deep playoff run? No, but I do think it's possible. And when I'm looking at everybody left, I'm going to roll the dice and go with them for my next pick.
You mentioned the shooting. Gary Trent's up to 42% on the year. AJ Green, 43%. Torian Prince, 45%. You know, obviously they made the Middleton for Kuzma swap out, which Kuzma hasn't hit his threes very well, but looks like a solid fit overall. And yeah, Giannis becoming like the best non-Kevin Durant volume mid-range shooter too. Like I don't know what you do defensively against Giannis anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And go ahead, build the wall. He's going to spray it out to AJ Green, who's shooting 98 threes a game. Yeah. So.
And Giannis can shoot over the wall now. Becoming like 46% on long twos is like, okay.
And you want to out-physical him and the refs swallow the whistle, he's going to out-physical you.
Yeah.
He's going to put you in the hoop and dunk it too. Everybody's got to stay healthy. They hit threes, they can make a run. So I'm going with them.
Okay.
Next one, call it, what is it? It's like the Michael Jordan, The Last Dance, Golden State Warriors.
Yeah.
I'm going with the Warriors. They've completely rejuvenated themselves since having Jimmy Butler. They got someone that can carry the load. They're not even fully healthy. They're going to get Kuminga back, who's an important piece for them on both ends of the floor. Bajemski's been balling. Buddy Hield been making threes. He's going to get even more open looks with Butler back in the mix. I love the way Butler and Steph's games complement each other. You got a guy that can post up, get in the paint, get to his spots, do his pump fake thing, get to the free throw line, get you physical buckets, which you need a guy that can get you physical buckets in the playoffs. And that's Jimmy Butler. And we've seen what he can do when the postseason comes around. Playoff Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Steph's been looking great. They're going to get healthy and... They're kind of like the Lakers. They're one of those teams that could get hot and make a run, or they could lose in the first round. I don't know. But when you look at the teams that have been picked in the East, Boston, Cleveland, and now Knicks and Milwaukee, anyone outside of that doesn't have a prayer coming out. But there's a world where Golden State could get lucky and make a deep playoff run going with the Warriors.
Yeah, the Warriors were next on my board, too. It's a good one. Getting anytime you can get Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler with the 10th team pick in a playoff draft, you got to and Draymond, I guess, obviously, 82 game players and 16 game players, he'll be
he's a beast in the playoffs.
I was gonna say on his better behavior, but I don't know if that part will actually be true.
Wait, I should have checked how many technicals he has. Like, is he gonna get suspended for a game because he hit his 16th technical in the playoffs?
Reset for the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Good. So that's the Draymond Green rule.
Yes,
they put that in after that Cavs series.
Yeah,
when he punched LeBron in the nuts.
I think that was flagrant points he got suspended in that one. But yeah, Anthony Edwards is actually the guy to watch for technical suspensions. I think he got suspended.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because he's at 16 for the season. Okay, I'm going to take Indiana just as a matter of completeness in the Eastern Conference. I think there's a chance they could beat Milwaukee in a first-round series. I don't think I would pick them. But if we're looking at Eastern Conference teams who could win a series, actually, I think they're the last one left on the board. Hmm. They've also played much, much better over the last couple of weeks since kind of the calendar turned there. Then the Western Conference is just like a mess there. I know you want me to take Houston. Minnesota and the Clippers are also like in the play-in, so you don't feel super, super confident about that. I'm going to go with Minnesota with that next pick, though. Houston's going to be a tough out. They're going to be physical and things like that. I just, in terms of the ability to score in a playoff series, I like Minnesota's chances just slightly better. And then the Clippers are just such a big injury question mark with Kawhi and Norm and things like that. So don't feel great about the Timberwolves, but this deep into the playoffs, I don't know that there are 11 teams with a chance to make a deep run. So,
yeah, I mean, Minnesota did it last year. So,
yeah, they've also, some of the like underlying numbers say, hey, they've been better over the last little bit. They're a little healthier than, your average team at this point in the season, especially with Julius Randle kind of getting back. So I don't know. I don't feel good about anyone at this point. But yeah, Indy and Minnesota.
Me neither. I mean, I feel like I have to take Houston here. I don't really have a choice. I don't love it. I don't know how they're going to score and manufacture offense, especially in a 7-game series when the game slows down. But, God, did they play hard. They play physical. They have a lot of depth. Maybe a couple guys can get hot. Maybe Fred VanVleet can get his shooting touch back. That would be huge. But they're going to guard. It's going to keep them in games. And Ime's a great coach. I know he'll make really good adjustments. So I'm going with Houston.
Yeah, it's tough. Fred's only played one game in the last month because of an ankle thing, and he came back and then went back out again. That's a little worrisome there. I think we've both talked about this team a bunch this year. Like, love them, love to watch them, like what they're building. Just think it's a year too early on Houston, probably. In the same way that it's like like a year too early on Portland to be a spicy play-in team. It's maybe 1 year too early for Houston as a playoff deep run team. But yeah, at this point, they're probably the best team left on the board.
And then
real slim pickings now.
I know it is. I don't want to pick this team, but they've just been so hot lately. I feel like I have to, and that's the Detroit Pistons.
There you go.
They should avoid the play-in, so at least they're going to be in the playoffs because we're getting to that point where like some of these teams might have to win in the play-in.
Yeah, they're five games clear of the play-in, so I think they're pretty.
Yeah, they're going to be in the playoffs. They've been playing great basketball. Cade's taken a huge leap forward. Jalen Duren has been a monster. They got Malik Beasley, who's like a vet, steady presence.
Having one of the best three-point shooting seasons of all time.
Shooting the crap out of it from three. Tobias Harris, as much as we don't like him, but also a vet. And
I mean, he's much better in this role in usage than he was in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
They're good.
They're really young. They haven't been to the postseason, obviously. I don't know if they can win a first-round series, but at least they're going to make the playoffs, and they'll have that gives them a chance to win the series. I'm going with them.
Cool. Final pick in the draft, because we got to get the fast break here. I'll take the Clippers. So that means with the 14 teams that we've taken, we took 8 of the West teams, 6 of the East teams. I think we're probably in agreement that Miami, Orlando, Atlanta, and Chicago, not huge threats to make noise in a playoff series after getting out of the play-in. No disrespect to the Toronto Raptors, who might find themselves in that play-in as well, but probably not winning a playoff series.
Okay,
if you get through.
No analysis. Pick your next one, and I'll pick one, so we have 8-8.
Oh, okay.
Because that way we have 8-8.
Okay, just to give you a hard... I'll take Phoenix.
Okay. Now I'm torn between Sacramento and Miami. Miami Heat culture could make a thing. Sacramento I was high on in the beginning. They've been playing much... I'm going Sac.
Okay. So we've got, of the 16, we took the 6 East teams that are for sure going to miss the play, and then we took 10 in the West.
So we got 8-8.
Yeah. Although not the, yes, 8-8. Although not the Dallas Mavericks. I took a team that's 2.5 games back of the play-in over the Mavericks. That's how I feel about the Mavericks.
Yeah, Mavericks are done.
Right now.
Cooked.
I think these are pretty balanced.
Yeah.
I think, I think it should be fun. And then we won't have shows in June, but we can check in and see, you know, when the Thunder won. And, you know, we can then the draft will be fair after the fact, after you win. Okay, time now for Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. We're going to see two of these teams that we just talked about tonight. Knicks at Lakers at 10 p.m. The Lakers are 3.5-point favorites, over-under set at 230.5. On the Knicks side, OG Anunoby, Precious Achiuwa, and Mitchell Robinson are questionable. Ariel Hokporti remains out. On the Lakers side, Luka Doncic, LeBron James, Austin Reeves listed as probable, because the Lakers can never just list anyone as in. Everyone's always probable. Maxi Kleber, Rui Hachimura, Markieff Morris, and Jordan Goodwin remain out. This is a Lakers team that is 39-21, tied for second in the West with Denver. They've won 7 in a row, 17 of their last 20. They're 7-2 with Luka Doncic in the lineup. The Knicks actually have a slightly better record. They're 40-21, but they're only third in the East, 3.5 back of Boston for second, 4 up for fourth. They are locked in as the 3 seed. They did just lose to Golden State to snap a small winning streak, but they had no Karl Anthony Towns in that one. Overall, they've won 13 of their last 18. Interesting stretch for them. This kicks off a 5-game West Coast trip for the Knicks. So a nice little test here, you know, 20 games away. I don't know. Is this the time of year yet, or are we still too far away where teams start to be like, okay, we got to get in our habits. We got to sharpen up. We got to get playoff mode. Are we still a couple weeks away from that mentality?
No, I don't think we are at all. Okay. You're basically 5 weeks away from the end of the season. It's time to start locking in.
All right. Let's see if
you want to be healthy and playing your best basketball come playoffs. That's
healthy,
the goal of the regular season.
Healthy first.
Yes.
And then playing your best basketball. The Knicks, of course, the number 3 offense in the league. So no,
I don't think Tibbs is worried about that.
No, more worried about the number 17 defense still. Yeah. That was Fast Break, brought to you by BetMGM, the sports book born in Vegas. Knicks Lakers should be a fun one. No Raptors in action tonight. No show for us tomorrow because of the NHL trade deadline. We'll have kind of wall-to-wall coverage of the NHL trade deadline. And so we'll be back Monday. We'll have a Jazz game for Friday to talk about that will include Matt Bonner on the pregame, halftime, and post. We'll also have Wizards on Saturday. Both of those are Sportsnet 590 games, so you can hear Eric Smith and Paul Jones on the call for those ones. Jazz, Wizards, 76ers. What a homestand. Those teams have 15, 12, 12, and 21 wins. to the Raptors 20.
Fire.
Fire. 905 also in action tonight as they push for the playoff. We'll get a look at Colin Castleton. Jamison Battle coming back from a broken nose. So lots to tune in for there as well on YouTube. Thank you to Mike Breen for joining us today. Thanks to Amit Mann, Jake Schultz, and Jennifer Rolnick behind the glass. Matt, thanks for a fun draft. And you have a wonderful extended weekend.
You too. Thank you. Three-day weekend.
We will talk to you guys on Monday. Have a wonderful Thursday weekend, whatever else.